Well, joining me now on the phone is Sarah Feigenholz, Democratic State Representative from Chicago. And I wanted to have Representative Feigenholz on the show because not only do we have the General Assembly coming back into session this week for the final week of their veto session, but we also find lawmakers convening in a in an aura of controversy over the issue of sexual harassment allegations, and something that has not only kind of inflamed Springfield, inflamed politics nationally, but worldwide. I saw a tweet this morning of front pages across Great Britain of similar allegations and controversies going on in the British Parliament. So, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me.
It's a delight to be on the show with you, Rick.
Well, I want to know now, late yesterday afternoon, the Legislative Ethics Commission announced that a former U.S. attorney, Julie Porter, had been appointed as a new legislative inspector general. And she was a member of the prosecution team in the Conrad Black trial. She worked on public corruption cases involving not only former governor, imprisoned governor Rod Blagojevich, but Bill Cellini. And, you know, as much as the issue of sexual harassment has come to the fore, has also been this issue of the General Assembly's failure to move forward in with the legislative inspector general's post.
Well, I think that you're going to see a flurry of activity this week about closing a lot of these loopholes. We've read a lot about some of the vacancy, the Homer vacancy, and the way the construct. But even more important than that is the path to filing a complaint and the comfort in which somebody finds in that process. Also, you'll see lobbyists will be brought into the fold, and the beginning of a, you know, we don't have a human resource department.
I was just going to say that is that I mean that is the line. There is no HR department to go to.
That's right, and so we don't have an opportunity. It's kind of a 17th century work ethic. You know, I have this vision of a woman being dragged across the Capitol Rotunda by her hair. You know, it is kind of a there does need to be a lot more checks and balances in the system from the top down, and we are beginning to see a lot of conversation from young women about situations that have been put upon them that are revolting. It unearths a lot of memories for women, as you saw last weekend when you saw some senior members of the U.S. Senate and Congress talking about their experiences as interns and new attorney and young attorneys, budding attorneys. You know, the kind of harassment that they put up with, the kind of inequities that they were faced with. And I think that the Weinstein factor has really ignited just a brush fire of people coming out, women mostly telling their stories about what happened. And it's got to stop. It just has to stop. I spent a great deal of time with a lot of these young women trying to open the door for them and show them how things work in Springfield and talk about public policy, and to see them walk out the door after putting one or two lines on their resume under the dome to say, I'm out of here, I can't handle this, is heartbreaking. And we've got to stop it. We want more women in public service, not less.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, joined on the phone by Sarah Feigenholz, Democratic State Representative from Chicago. And we're talking about the issue of how sexual harassment has come to the fore in regards to, you know, not just politics. I mean, certainly the Weinstein situation in Hollywood. But is it a matter of the fact that, like in other areas of life where, you know, the legislature, you know, in its day was almost exclusively male. And now you have, you know, the empowerment of women into various sectors of life that were exclusively male dominated.
Well, this is a very male dominated profession, and I think you make a great point that I think that where there's no HR department and there is a male dominated profession, that is a really bad combination. Would you agree?
Well, I mean, there are no rights.
Right. Well, there's, you know, it is a fertile ground for problems, and this is where I believe harassment of all kinds, not just sexual harassment, but competition in the workplace is fierce. There are still a lot of men out there, Rick, who do not want to see women succeed and don't like them, or, you know, are able to act badly. Women don't get promoted. We need more women in leadership in Springfield. We need more legislators. One of the great losses from my perspective was my dear friend and a frequent guest on your show, Representative Elaine Nekritz, leaving because of the toxic environment. Barbara Flynn Curry, the majority leader, stepping down at the end of this term, leaves, you know, a lot of open discussion for where are we headed. And with half of this world made up of women and about 25% of legislatures around the country, women representing a much smaller percentage of 50%, it's time that we really evaluate. Men can talk about sexual harassment when they're victims, but speaking for women all the time when they're not the victims is sometimes a little hard to swallow, if you know what I'm talking about. So I really think we need... my mother used to say something, don't ever ask the doctor, always ask the patient. We have to figure out what women need to succeed. It will be our legacy, and I know it will be mine. I want to see women thrive in a government environment, in a political environment to change public policy. And, you know, you and I have talked about a lot of women's issues over the years. One, of course, was House Bill 40, the ups and downs of that. And honestly, these are issues women need to talk about and need to be the voice of. And the silver lining here, of course, is that we're now having serious and open discussions about sexual harassment, women in leadership, and hopefully we are going to fix this problem and stay focused on changing the behavior. We can write as many laws as we want in Springfield, as you know we do. But if we don't change the culture and we don't stop pointing fingers at each other and using these things as a partisan issue and stay focused on empowering women, that's what I'm hoping we will accomplish here.
Well, Representative, you actually got to the point of my next question, because we already saw one lawmaker saying, you know, well, you know, the idea of the mandated training or whatever, well, training, you know, whatever, blah, blah, that, you know, if that's just for show, you know, it doesn't mean anything. And, I mean, as you said, it's about correcting a culture. And that's something you can't legislate.
That is correct. And, you know, hopefully what we're going to do, we're scheduled to have a task force that is going to continue to work on discrimination, not just sexual. And I believe that there is a commitment to continue this conversation and do a comprehensive review of some of the social consequences of this discrimination and how the women of this state have been suffering from it. So, when it comes to issues of, you know, daycare, child care, and women being able to achieve economic independence so that they can, we have a lot of women raising children alone in this state, and we have a lot of women representing them in the legislature, and we need to get their voices heard. And if they are bothered along the way by bad behavior, they need to be protected by laws that include anti-retaliation and whistleblower laws. And they need to be able to report this, Rick. Part of the problem is that women do not complain because they feel like where they file their complaint, there is a conflict. So we need to really look carefully about creating a safe path to report this kind of sexual harassment. And I think you even heard Tom Homer, the former IG, talking about how, because of lack of transparency, this was a toothless tiger. And I think that that's alarming. So we have a lot to look at after Julie Porter does her cursory 27 cases.
Well, do you think just having this conversation and this issue might lead to maybe a more greater understanding of overall women's issues in the legislative forum?
Well, I mean, ultimately, that is the hope. I do think that the lid blew off the Capitol in the last 2 weeks. I'm sure you would agree with
yes.
that.
Yes, indeed.
And I think that a lot of people have been saying, well, nothing is going to happen if women don't name names. And, you know, my attitude is if they want to name names, those are their stories, and they are entitled to that. Some of them don't feel safe because they don't have any protection. There's no anti-retaliation clauses in Illinois statute to protect them. But one thing I do know is that everyone's on notice, that women are ready to do whatever it takes to change the culture in Springfield now.
Very quickly, second week of veto session. Obviously, this is going to be a dominant subject down there. But we also have, you know, some of these legislative overrides that the House is considering, including one that failed previously about the issue of local right to work zones and banning those in state law. Is that, in your view, coming back for another vote, and is it going to be successful?
You know, I think that there is a conversation going on. That one, of course, very important to the working men and women of this state, and I'm hoping that we can override that. I don't know the answer. I think that there may be some bipartisan discussions going on.
That's Democratic State Representative Sarah Feigenholtz, Democratic representative from Chicago. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's always a pleasure.